Galatians chapter number 1, we're going to read one verse, and that is verse number 10, Galatians 1:10. Paul is writing this. If you caught the video of me preaching down in Dallas, North Carolina, you may have heard a little bit of this sermon already, and I apologize that you're going to get leftovers, but this is that they were my warm-up, so that way we could get it right for you right here. But Galatians 1:10, the Bible says this, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Paul is asking a very important question in verse 10 of Galatians chapter 1, and that is, who am I living to please? Who is it that I'm living to please? And today's message is on this subject, the trap of needing to be needed. The trap of being a people pleaser. We're talking on Sunday mornings. We're doing a series right now on 9 different personality types and what each of these personality types are struggling with. And what is true, and for most of us, I would dare say, is that there's a little bit of each of these in us. And today, we're going to look at this brokenness that is in so many people, where they feel like they have got to be needed. Now, being someone who is helpful is a good thing. There's nothing wrong in being someone who is helpful. I appreciate helpful people. But there are some people that their helpfulness goes above what is natural or even godly, but their helpfulness is on a whole different level, and it's really self-serving. And we're going to talk about that today, but first of all, just as an introductory thought, we live in a world addicted to approval. We live in a culture where approval is paramount for so many people. Are they approving of my life? Are they approving of my lifestyle? Are my political views approving to individuals? Is my job approving? Is my income approving? A world where everyone, it feels like, is addicted to approval. Why else is social media so glorious today? People are striving to be approved or accepted. But beyond this, some people chase fame. Others crave applause, but many, especially in church, get caught up on an even quieter trap. And that is needing to be needed. They serve tirelessly. They sacrifice constantly. And yet, deep inside, they are haunted by a single fear. If I stop serving, will anyone love me? If I stop being needed, will I still have a purpose? If I stop being useful to people, will I still be loved? And here's the reality, this mindset is rampant in our culture. Way more so perhaps than even last week where we talked about the desire to be perfect. We are living in a day where so many of us, I would dare say even in this room, there is a feeling with many people where it is, I've got to be needed. And if I reach a point where I am no longer needed, then I am no longer loved. I am no longer lovable. And there are many of us in this room at one time who was very needed, and at one time were meeting the needs of people around us, and yet circumstances in life have led us to where we're no longer needed, it feels like. And we're struggling with this, trying to figure out, how do I get past this new normal? There are some people that they don't do retirement very well. They're kings without a kingdom the day they retire. And it's like, well, I don't know how not to be needed. I don't know how not to be approved by people. And so let's look at this. Paul's bold words in Galatians 1:10 call this motive into question. You can't live for Christ and yet live for the approval of men. You can't live desiring to be approved by everybody you meet this way and somehow think you're going to be approved by God this way. Did you know that there are over 7 billion people on the planet? Marie and I were bored the other day and we counted them. 7 billion people on the planet, and yet even with 7 billion people, think about how many that is. You're never going to please everybody. And some of the most miserable people you'll ever meet are individuals who try to be loved by everybody in the room. And you know the happiest people oftentimes are the people that just don't care. I'm just me. I'm just going to come in and do this thing. Not bound by a trap. We're going to look today at this. 3 hard looks every people pleaser needs to take. Now, I'm not going to call you out and say you're a people pleaser. I'll let you call yourself out in your mind right here. I know that's me. If that's you, think about this for a moment. And you know in your soul whether or not this message is for you or not. You know if you worry about what people... We all like to look tough and pretend like we're tough. But for many of us, there is inside of us a desire to be accepted. And you can look at the causes of this. Was this because somebody walked out on you at a time whenever you needed it? Maybe it was a father. Maybe it was a mother. Maybe it was a spouse. Maybe it was a job that turned on you. And in a very formative time in your life, you found yourself abandoned. And you resoluted in your heart, I'm never going to be abandoned again. Therefore, I'm going to do everything I can to please the people that are in my life, because if I'm not pleasing them, they might walk out on me too. That's deep stuff right there, even if it came out of my mouth. We can talk forever about the reason that people are people pleasers, but it makes no difference at the end of the day. Being a people person, let's hear some hard looks that we all need to take. Here's the first thing. We need to take a hard look at our motives. You know, if you are a people pleaser, you can fall into the trap of thinking that you're better than a whole lot of people, than thinking you're good deep down in your soul. Here you are at the grocery store, and you're walking out to put your groceries in the car, and you look over the way, and there's an 89-year-old woman with a grocery cart, and she's going to put it away too. And you trip over yourself getting to her cart, because you're going to be a blessing. Let me take that. And you take her cart, and you were helpful. And you're just, woohoo, I'm a good person. And you put it away. Do you realize that the Bible says even our best righteousness is as filthy rags? Meaning that though we did something good, what was our motive behind that? Was our motive merely to be a blessing to someone else? Or was our motive to be a blessing to us? That's a wild thought, isn't it? That sometimes we're good to other people, not because we have a love in us for that other person, but we have a love in us for ourselves. And we are trying to please others so that we can get something from that. Look at our hard motives right here. Paul says in verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God?" What is at the root of living your life to be pleasing to everybody? Here's what's at the root of it. Paul says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if yet I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Do you realize that someone who is living their life as a chronic people pleaser, they're really living for one person. And who is that person? I don't like the feeling of rocking the boat. I don't like the feeling of being rejected. I don't want to find myself abandoned. I don't have the courage to stand for truth, even though I'm the only one in the room taking this stand. a whole lot of people are people pleasers, and they are convincing themselves that by being a people pleaser, they're a great person because of it, and they're a selfless person because of it. But at the end of the day, they're really not doing it for others. They're doing it for themselves. Now, that's something that if you're here and you are a cantankerous, difficult person, you're going to love this sermon. Because you're going to be able to go home and be like, the preacher said, I can't help you. The preacher, he even read Bible verses that said, I'd like to help you, but I'm trying to be a good Christian. So I better not help you right here. This is ammunition that I am giving somebody here. And don't be that person, please. I'm talking right now to individuals that from the moment they wake up to the moment they go to bed, their life is consumed with approval. Consumed with being approved by everybody I meet. And the problem with that, and we're going to look at this here in a moment, there is some real danger in worrying about whether or not you are approved and accepted this way. There's a whole lot of opportunity to be used and abused if all you are concerned with is acceptance on this way right here. And oftentimes we say we're being a people pleaser because we have a love for everybody else, but at the end of the day, it's really we've got a love for ourselves. Because we don't want to find ourselves in a situation that is uncomfortable for us. You ever get around somebody and they have no shame on creating an uncomfortable situation where they'll just say something and you're like, oh, I don't like this feeling. People pleasers aren't that person. People pleasers are the ones that want to walk on eggshells here. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There are many people who believe because they're helpful, they're good. They believe that because they try to just be a blessing, they're good. But look what the Bible says. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It might be that you're here today and you have convinced yourself that by being this number two person, being this individual who is constantly trying to be helpful and a blessing to others and bearing everybody's burden, that you are better, or at least you are good. But the Bible is inviting us this morning to take a hard look at our motives. Why do I serve in my church? Why is it that I'm serving and making sacrifices for my family? Why is it that I've got to be helpful and doing and on the move and trying to be useful? What is my motivation in doing this? It might be that our motivations are more self-serving than we would like to think. But here's another truth. We have not been called to be people pleasers. A whole lot of people mistakenly believe that Christianity is just us trying to get along with everybody. God saved us and God brought us into the family of God, and now we have been called to just get along with everybody. Well, let's just all try our very best to not rock the boat. But here's what the Bible says. In a verse leading up to verse 10, he says in verse 8, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Meaning that if somebody comes to you with a false gospel, if somebody comes to you saying that they know the God of heaven, and yet what they're believing, what they're preaching, what they're bringing in is contrary to what the Bible says, God says, let them be accursed. In Ivanhoe, Robert Sheffy, you might remember Robert Sheffy. He was the most famous preacher to ever come from Wythe County. He was a circuit riding preacher back in the 1800s. Robert Sheffy was born in Ivanhoe. And he went and he was holding camp meetings all over the area. People were getting saved. And he decided he would go back to Ivanhoe and begin ministering in Ivanhoe. And he gets there and he is cussed and ran out of town. Robert Sheffy gets to Ivanhoe and they run him out out of town altogether. And as he's leaving town, he turns around and he cusses Ivanhoe. Probably wasn't the first person to do it, and probably wasn't the last person to do it. And he cursed the town, and he said, "I'm done." And he left. And as the story goes, Ivanhoe has been cursed ever since then. I share that story to say it is almost in line with verse number 8 right here. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That right there is pretty clear. God is saying, I'm not calling you to get along with everybody. Now, let's be clear. God has not called us to be difficult. Our ministry is not a ministry of difficulty. Well, I'm just trying to be a good Christian, therefore I hate everybody and I'm awful. Wouldn't it be easy sometimes to live this faith if that's what we were called to do? We have been called not to be that person, but we have not been called to be people pleasers. And so if you're here today and you are a people pleaser, to where your political views, I'm with this crowd over here. Yes, yes, I agree. Right, right. Oh, I'm with this crowd over here. Yeah, I hate them too. I don't like them. No, yeah, right, right. Yeah, 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 right, right. No, 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 no. We call those people chameleons. They change their appearance based on who they're around, and they do so to protect themselves. And they do so as a manner of self-preservation. God has not called us to be chameleons. He's called us to stand for the truth of His Word. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Whether we're talking about what I believe that the Bible teaches, or whether we're talking about anything else, whatever we do, do it to the Lord and not to men. So if your belief is this, maintain that belief wherever you are. If your belief is that, maintain that belief wherever you are. Don't be wishy-washy. People pleasers are often wishy-washy. And let's look at the dangers of that. A hard look at the dangers of people pleasing. Do I seek to please men? What are the dangers? Why is it so dangerous that I'm a people pleaser? People pleasing leads to doctrinal compromise. Paul says in verse 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Paul is writing to the Galatians in chapter number 1, and he says, you have forsaken the gospel, and I'm in awe that you have forsaken the gospel, and you have forsaken it for no other reason than just trying to be accepted, just trying to be a people pleaser. Well, this guy came and he's preaching something different, and as a result, I don't want to be very offensive, so I'm just going to accept what he's saying. People-pleasing leads to doctrinal compromise. If you live your life trying to be accepted by the crowd you are around, you will find yourself compromising beliefs that you never should compromise. If you live your life trying to be approved by those that you're with, you're going to have no set standard. Through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Just musing you as though you are merchandise. People-pleasing leads to doctrinal compromise, but here's another one. People-pleasing leads to being taken advantage of. If you are a people-pleaser, make no mistake about it, there are many people that are excited that you're a people-pleaser. Hey, here's a people-pleaser. I found one! Hey, I need some money for lunch. Thank you. Hey, I need you to overhaul my truck engine. Thank you. That's good. Good little boy. Hey, I need you to come over here and mow my grass. Hey, I need you to, you don't mind to do this. People pleasing leads to being taken advantage of. I'm just here to be a blessing. All right, well, come be a blessing. My profession, mine, this profession right here, is known and has a reputation for looking for people pleasers and swooping in and using them until they ain't got nothing left to use. Churches feast on people pleasers. Ministers dine on people pleasers. But I want to say this, corporations, factories, friends, family, society uses people pleasers. And people pleasers just trying to be accepted go all in until they ain't got anything left to give. And then they're exhausted. People pleasing, there be some that trouble you. People pleasing leads to being taken advantage of. The fear of man bringeth a snare. I think about a bear trap in the woods, and imagine a bear trap chained to a tree, and you step into that bear trap and that thing is latched onto your leg. And you're trying to get away, but you've been snared. You're hooked and you can't break away from it. That's what living a people-pleasing life is. You are ensnared and you are trapped. The fear of man is a trap. I want to be accepted. I want to please you. I want you to like me. Therefore, whatever you like, I like. I want you to like me, so therefore, your genre of music is the genre of music I like. And your sports team is my sports team. And your habits and your hobbies are my habits and my hobbies, because I just want to be accepted. You know anybody like that? All right, I'm making sure that I'm not the only one that sometimes thinks, well, I don't think this is the real you. People pleasing is a trap. It is a snare, and you can't break loose from it. The fear of man, it's a trap. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord, you're safe. I have been made safe from the trap of having to do things other people's way. And as long as I'm trying to do things your way or someone else's way, and me trying to please you, I can never be who God has called me to be. There are a lot of people that are not safe from feeling like they can be who they were made to be because they have been ensnared because they're living to please everybody else. The dangers of people pleasing will cause you to compromise your faith. And people pleasing will lead to you being taken advantage of. But here's the last thing, a hard look at our greater calling. We have a greater calling than to please each other. We have a greater calling than to please our family, our friends, our co-workers, our church. We've been given a greater calling than to please our ex-spouse. What is this greater calling? Here it is, to be the servant of Christ. I share this with you here. Our calling is to only one master. You can only have one master. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Our calling is to only one master. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or money. You can't serve two masters. There are some people in this room, perhaps, who have never realized the true freedom of simply following Christ and serving Christ. If you're going to serve Christ, you've got to recognize this is an exclusive calling. When I come to Christ, I am turning my back on everything and anything and following solely after Christ. No man can serve two masters. And so the question for you today, the question for me today, is there any area of my life where, if I'm going to be honest with myself, it matters to me whether or not I am accepted in your eyes? And if there is an area of my life where I am trying for the acceptance and the approval of people, I'm trying really to serve two masters. And if I'm trying to serve two masters, I'm not really calling him Lord. You've got to reach the place, and I've got to reach the place, where you have great peace in understanding that it don't matter what anybody thinks. It don't matter whether or not anybody gives me their approval. And I don't even have to work to get your approval. I've just been called to Christ. And as long as he is accepting of me, and as long as my labor is approved to him, that's all I need. What a great peace you will find when you realize he's not going anywhere. You might have had an earthly family that left you. You might have had an earthly friendship that departed from you. You might have had an earthly father that forsook you. But know this, God himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is here for the long haul, and he is committed to standing by you. You don't have to try to be approved by everybody to think that you're not going to be lonely. All you've got to do is focus on pleasing him. And he just says, come to me, and I'll make you a new creature. I'll make old things pass away. Our calling is to only one master. And here's the last thought. Our calling to only one master is enough. I only have one master, and I'm glad to say that that one master is enough. He is all I need. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your need. You see, when people are people pleasers, the reason that we can become people pleasers is we're looking in the wrong places to have our need met. We've got a need oftentimes of acceptance. We've got a need oftentimes of fulfillment. We've got a need oftentimes for love. And we think, if I can just conform to what you want me to be, and I can just do, then I will be accepted in your eyes. But let me say this, as a former people pleaser, probably a current people pleaser, the truth is, the people that you're trying to impress by what you do, you're never going to do enough to impress them anyway. True love is unconditional. True love is without any caveat to it. God has a true love for you today. And this God of heaven is saying, I know your sins are as scarlet. I know that you are absolutely disgusting from your past. But come to me, and I'll make you whiter than snow. And I'll cleanse you and make you into something entirely new. And you don't have to perform anymore. Church, it is a blessing when you reach that place in life that you realize, I don't have to put on, and I don't have to pretend, and I don't have to perform, because the one I'm counting on to meet my needs isn't found in this room right here. He's my God. And my God shall supply all your need according to your riches, his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. A very simple thought. Very, very simple. It wasn't too exciting. I don't think I even heard Lori say amen, amen, amen today. So it was a down message today. Kind of just wah, wah, wah. I got scared Lori had become a Presbyterian. But then I realized that was me. I just wasn't bringing anything today. But With that being said, hopefully the truths of this message right here, that God loves you and you don't have to live your life trying to please everybody. You can live your life just grateful over the fact that He's already accepted you. We work not toward the cross, we work from the cross, and there's a big difference from that.